Here we go. Hey, we don't got a lot of time, and I got a lot to get through here. All right? It's a lot of cool stuff as well. If you brought your Bible and notebook tonight, you should have, because there's going to be a lot of good notes to write down. So pull out your Bible, your notebook, because you're not going to want to forget what I'm about to tell you. All right? I guarantee you're not going to want to forget what I'm about to tell you. This is our third week of the Become series. The first 2 weeks, I'm going to give a really quick overview. If you weren't here, if you missed it, go online. That's why it's online, westpointchurch.org. No excuse for you to ever miss another sermon of mine or Pastor Tyler's ever again. You can take 40 minutes out of your life and do so. Thank you. Here's the deal. The first week, we talked about baby Jesus and why he was born. We talked about he was born so we could be born again. And we talked about how cute he was. And I showed pictures of myself as a baby and Courtney as a baby. And it was just a cute night. All right? The second week, we talked about the adult Jesus. That was last week. We talked about how when he grew up, the accomplishments he made. You remember that? Who was here last week? You remember we talked about accomplishments and the accomplishments of Jesus and why those are important, and also why it's important for us to recognize our accomplishments. Remember that? Did anybody actually go home and write down their accomplishments last week? You serious? You did it? That's awesome. So we talked about going home, writing down, you guys okay over here? Like, what's going on? What's all the commotion? Oh, geez. Never again am I ever passing things out. Ever. I'm trying to be nice and giving and... You, Brady. You need to calm down, dude. All right, so here's the deal. So tonight, we're in our third week, and I'm going to start off with this. Picture this, all right? We all walk through life with different pictures in mind about life, all right? About people, about ourselves, or about God and his existence. We all do that. We all have different pictures about that kind of stuff. But to what point do we need to stop and think which pictures matter most? Okay? Like when I say picture, I mean our perspective on things. Okay? Our perspective, when I say picture this, when I think picture, guys, our perspective on things is the most important thing sometimes. The way we picture or think about things can ultimately control what we do. There's so much truth in that. How you look at life, what you think about someone, what you think about yourself, that's ultimately going to control what you do, where you go, and who you become. And that's why we're in our series, Become. I want to put up some pictures. What's the first appropriate thing that comes to mind when you think of these people? All right? Appropriate now. Look at this guy. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Failure. Hey, a little slower, Trent. So here's the second guy. Oh, yeah, you can go. Here's the second guy. All right. What are you thinking about with him, huh? That's Kobe Bryant. All right, next. What do you think about? What do you picture when you think of that guy right there? Yeah? Not to be afraid. All right, next. Who is that? Can someone tell me who that is? All right, next. Now, this should be shunned from the world right away. That's what I think. How about this one? Yeah? Anyone know who that is? All right, let's go next. Let's keep it here for a second. So this is who? Barack Obama. He's our president. A lot of different thoughts going through your head. Some of you probably aren't even smart enough to know that was Barack Obama, or you don't even care about politics, and that's cool. But I saved this last one because I know most of you know this person right here. Next. That's when he was like a baby, literally. Like, that's like when he was like a baby. Like, he just like, no, because that's how it all started right there. You know, that's how it all started. He like, he pretty much was just born right there. That's him. So let's continue. Shh. You might have thought of things like they're famous, attractive, talented, a leader, athletic, and much, much more. But here's the thing. But are these qualities something worth following or striving towards? That's the question. Are these qualities or what you thought about these people on the screen qualities something worth following or striving towards? Because again, remember, our picture, our perspective on people, on life, it's going to control who we become, the decisions that we make. Now, the things that you picture or think about, are these things that affect you? Do you think that they affect you? Are they things that pull you closer or influence you? You see, sometimes we count on these leaders or these icons, but do we really know their true heart, guys? This is important. Do we, you know, these people that we get all crazy about or different people in the world, do we think all these different things, or might have you thought of other stuff, but do we really know their true heart? Do we really know what they're all about as a person? And do we allow their influence to affect us to the point that we listen or do whatever they say or do? Picture that for a second. Are there people in your life, not just celebrities, parents, friends, that you picture, and what you think about them or what your perception about them, do they honestly control you? Do you make decisions off of them? So tonight, you know, I'm going to turn the tables really quick here. And tonight, obviously, we're talking about Jesus. And I want us to picture Jesus in a different way tonight. You see, God, I feel like we don't have a clear picture of what he looks like. But we have a whole, if we look in here, there's really not many places, and I'll talk about one, specifically Jesus, that we ever really knew what he looked like. But we have a whole book that reveals his true being. You see that? We might not know what he looks like. We can't put up a picture. Well, I mean, there's all these pictures of people that think we know what he looked like. Jesus, that is. But we have a whole book that reveals, you know, who he is as a true being. And so tonight I want us to get a chance to picture him in a new way. Actually, I want us to take a clear picture about Jesus. The Jesus that we're talking about tonight is not the baby. It's not the adult. But the Jesus we're going to talk about tonight is the Jesus that is actually reigning in heaven right now, the Jesus that we will have an opportunity to see one day again. And that's who we're going to picture tonight. That's who we're going to get to know about tonight. But before we do, I want to share this short clip with you on some other people's perspectives about how they picture Jesus. So I hope you enjoy this clip here.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR as we call them. And, of course, my red-hot smoking wife, Carly, who is a stone-cold fox. I also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate, Cal Naughton Jr., who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. And it smells terrible, and the dogs are always bothering with it. Mm. Dear tiny infant Jesus.
Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want.
You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow.
Dear tiny Jesus, your golden fleece diapers with your tiny little fat balled-up fist pawing.
He was a man. He had a beard.
Look, I like the baby version the best. Do you hear me?
I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt because it says, like, I want to be formal, right, but I'm here to party, too. Because I like to party, so I like my Jesus to party.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja fighting off evil samurai.
I like to think of Jesus, like, with giant eagle's wings and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd with, like, an angel band. And I'm in the front row.
Hey, Cal. Why don't you just shut up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant, so cuddly, but still omnipotent. Mm. We just thank you for all the races I've won and $21.2 million. Woo!
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 Ow!
Love that money that I have accrued over this past season. Also, due to a binding endorsement contract that stipulates I mention Powerade at each grace,
I just want to say the Powerade is delicious, and it cools you off on a hot summer day. And we look forward to Powerade's release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry. Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen.
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 Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we'll just continue on here. Here's a question, another question I have for you, though. But when you picture Jesus, what do you see? We've talked about a couple different Jesuses the past couple weeks, but we're going to kind of get our minds spinning here before we get into the Word. But is this who you picture again when you think Jesus, the baby Jesus? Okay, how about the next one here? How about the happy Jesus? Every time you think of Jesus, you just think of him as happy? How about this next one here? Angry Jesus! You think of Jesus as angry? You know, he does show frustration in the Bible. If you read it, you'll see that. How about the normal Jesus? Anyone see that picture? I call this the normal Jesus. Okay, he's just like, I'm living life. Okay, let's see the next one. Now, I know this is the crucified Jesus, the one that's hard to look at, but when you think of Jesus sometimes, you think of the crucified Jesus. I don't know if there's another one, I don't think. Okay, yeah, let's keep it right there. What else could there be? What else could there be? Well, guys, I kind of said there for a second. You can turn there with me quick if you want. I just want to make a quick reference point. Isaiah 53:2. I'm getting there. Thought I put a little. There it is. Isaiah 53:2. It's not going to be up on the screen, so just follow along with me. This is like one of the only places in the Bible that actually ever described Jesus as like his physical attributes. So listen, this is kind of crazy. It says, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Guys, that's important to know. I don't know if you ever thought, like, when Jesus was here, like, he was, like, cuter than, like, Justin Bieber or something like that. See, now, that wasn't the case. There was nothing, it says right here in verse 2 of Isaiah 53, that he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. So that means if you're walking down the hall, probably this is more so for girls, you're walking down the hall at school, you're probably not going to stop and look at hot Jesus over there because he wasn't attractive. Okay, there's nothing about his attractiveness, facial, body, he wasn't attractive. Okay? And so that's really interesting to think about because, you know, if you go through scripture, everything else that he did is what attracted people, wasn't it? And I think that's kind of cool. I think that's really cool. And so what I'm about to go into what I'm about to say right now is mostly for the men in here. Everyone's like, oh, men. Come on, men, let me hear you. Well, this is the reason why, and ladies, you're not, this is for you too, but this is more, I'm picking on the men here for a second, because men, as you grow up, which I hope you do, we see a very huge drop in the church with Christian men that don't bring their family to church, and it's just the ladies that bring their family to church, and the men stay home watching football, and they go to their cabins, or they do all these other things, and they just fall off the face of the earth because church is not cool enough or manly enough. It's just like for women or something. So what I'm about to describe to you here in a second is really important. So men, listen up, but this is good for girls too. What I'm about to describe to you about Jesus is not this Jesus with this like long flowing hair in this gently knit ironed robe that's riding on a pony into the sunset, okay, and like he can't wait for his decaf coffee in the morning, okay? I'm not about to describe that type of Jesus to you. So I really hope you're listening, because the Jesus that I'm about to describe to you is this Jesus in Revelations. If you've never read Revelations, you should, because it's amazing. Maybe a little hard to understand, but we're about to look into that. What I'm about to describe to you is the ultimate fighter Jesus, who's about to open up a can, okay? So for all you men or boys or whatever you want to call yourselves, Jesus is the man, and he's an ultimate fighter Jesus that's about to destroy people's lives, okay? And by the end of this, and after hearing this, I want all of us, I hope that all of us, we can have a bigger and more powerful and more masculine, more authoritative, more passionate perspective on about who Jesus is. Does that make sense? Because again, like, What I'm about to read to you, it should blow your mind. We're going to kind of work backwards, and I'm going to read this kind of quick because we're running short on time, and I already know I'm not getting you out of 8:15, so just hold your butt, probably 8:20. I might have lied there too. So just sit tight here for a second. Here you go. I want to read to you, and then we're going to go backwards. I want to jump into Revelations 19, 11 through 21, and I want to describe to you a story that's happening. And I better give you a little bit of background. Otherwise, if you know nothing about Revelations, you're going to be like, what's going on? First of all, Revelations was written by John. He was one of the disciples. John, if you were here a few months ago, we talked about all the disciples, and John was the one that was boiled alive, and he didn't die. So they sent him off to an island called Patmos, and they sent him there because they figured they couldn't kill him, so they just wanted to exclude him from the world, and he just would die there. So they sent him there, and this is where he wrote the book of Revelations, okay? And a lot of people are like, well, Revelations is written in code, and it's really hard to understand. But really, Revelations is about the end times. This is all about when Jesus returns for his followers, and he opens up a can, okay? So this is really cool, and what I'm about to read for you right now is the part where Jesus is about to, like, again, he's about to destroy. This should be turned into a movie. I think it already has, actually. I don't really know. But this is where he pretty much destroys the devil. He destroys the Antichrist, and he destroys everybody else that didn't want to be with Jesus. And this is what it says. And so what happened is John would sit there, and he would get these revelations. Get it? Get it? Good. He would get these words from God, and God told him to write it down. Okay, so I'm going to pick it up from Revelations 19, and we're going to read 11 through 21. It's going to be on the screen, but really, I'm going to kind of read it fast, but really just follow along, because this is really awesome, deep, destructive stuff. And now this is John speaking. He said, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire. They're talking about Jesus right now, okay? His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. Now, if that ain't cool, man, I don't know about you, okay? It's dipped in blood right there. He means business. It goes on here. Sorry, I lost my spot. I shouldn't have got excited and looked up. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses. So here comes Jesus, and here comes the whole army of heaven behind him. All right, I best not be there during that time. And you probably should pray that you're not either. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth, Jesus, came a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Not just one person, everybody. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads in the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right there, people reference to it. Well, Jesus had tattoos. Well, it looks like he did right there. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair. This is crazy right here. This is one of my favorite parts. An angel's like, to all the birds flying in midair, come and gather together for the great supper of God. See what's about to happen here? He's calling on all the birds of the world to start to eat the flesh of people here in a second. This is an angel calling on. And it says, and it continues on, it says, and so that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the generals, and mighty men of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. So now everybody, all the armies of this world, were all gathered and ready to fight Jesus. Then, but the beast was captured, which is the devil, and with him the false prophet, the Antichrist, who has performed miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed. The rest of them, meaning everybody who was in the devil's army and everyone who didn't want to follow Jesus, the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, Jesus, and all the birds, here comes, gorged themselves on their flesh. Dude. And so where are all the men of this church? I don't know. But that's more epic of a battle that I've ever read or seen in my life. birds coming out of the air, called by angels to eat the flesh of humans that didn't want to follow Jesus. We're not going to get into the whole thing, Jesus loves and he shouldn't let anyone perish. We're not going to get into that type of thing tonight. I wanted to read that because I want to give you perspective of the Jesus we're talking about tonight. Because it is crazy. Now I want to turn to Revelations 1. Doing pretty good. I need a drink though. Here we go. Revelations 1. Now this is, we're going to open up more of what he looked like. This is really cool now. If you've never heard this, get your paper out. Take some notes. Like this is what Jesus looks like when he comes back here. All right, Revelations 1, 12 through 18. I'm going to pick it up from 12, and I'm going to read 12 through 18, and then I'm going to go back and explain it to you. Now, this is right in the beginning of Revelations. John was sitting down. He's in Patmos, and all of a sudden, this word, actually in verse 11, it's not up there, but it said, this is Jesus speaking, write on the scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. All right, so John needs to write this down because it's important. This is the starting of his revelations in his notebooking, whatever you want to call it. And so this is what it says. 12, John speaking. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet. Now everything that's about to be described, pay attention to it, because every single thing that's described here is very important about Jesus' image. Dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. We saw that in the other verse. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth, again, came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, and though dead. Yes, that's what I would have done too, and I probably wouldn't have gotten back up, because I would have been freaking out. Then he placed his right hand on me, right there I probably would have died again, and said, do not be afraid. Now this is Jesus speaking. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I'm alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore that you have seen what is now and what will take place later in Revelations, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. I'm going to stop right there. And we're not going to get into the stars very much and the lampstands and the angels. We're just going to focus on Jesus tonight. And I want to go through with you. There's eight things that are going to come up on the screen. And I want you should write these down if you got notes, and I'm going to add something onto them, so you want to be listening here. What are all these things? Again, we learned the lampstands were the seven churches, okay? So right now, what I need you to do with me is you're going to start to picture Jesus in a new way. That's what we're doing. But not just a new way, but the way that he's going to look when he comes back for us someday. Now, the golden sash, what does this represent? Why does he have a golden sash on? Well, guys, this represents his high priesthood. If you look into the Bible and you dig in through Scripture, he's represented as the high priest. And that's why he has the gold sash. Now, what's the white hair all about? Well, when you think of white hair, and some of your grandparents have white hair, and what does this sometimes represent? Anybody know? Okay? It's kind of the same thing. He has white hair because it represents wisdom and dignity. All right? You got to picture all these different things. This is Jesus here right now. Then his eyes are like blazing fire. Why in the world would Jesus' eyes be like blazing fire? Anybody? Anybody have a guess? What was that? Guys, he has eyes like blazing fire because he's penetrating and he has insight on all things. He sees everything. His eyes burn through everything. He sees and penetrates through everything, and that's why his eyes are like blazing fire. It goes on and it says, feet like a blazing furnace. Okay. Blazing eyes, blazing feet. What in the world is going on here? Guys, the blazing feet is probably one of my favorite parts. Why in the world would Jesus have blazing feet? You know, this is something that amazes me, but it makes so much sense why when Jesus returns, he has blazing feet, like a furnace. The blazing feet, guys, represents burning up of our sins. Why do you think so many times we talk about go to the feet of Jesus? Come to the altar and kneel down at Jesus' feet. Bow down to Jesus. Where are you when you're bowing down? You're at his feet. So his feet, guys, is another representation of him taking on the sins of the world. And they're a blazing furnace because they have to devour the sins of the world that we carry upon us. And I think that's so cool. The voice, sound of rushing water. Now, again, I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. Why would his voice be like the sound of rushing water? Like, when you hear the sound of rushing water, what is it like? Mighty. It's loud, right? It's powerful. So it's just representing that he has a strong voice. And if he says something, I guarantee you're going to hear him. Okay? I guarantee you're going to hear him if he says something. And then the sword. We read about it in the beginning, and we read about it again. He has a sword coming out of his mouth. Okay, by this point, guys, if you're picturing this all with me, I don't even have a picture to put up there to show you and represent this to you guys tonight, because I don't want to do that. I want you, if you have to close your eyes or whatever, to picture this. This guy has burning eyes, he has a sash on, he has burning feet, he has a sword coming out of his mouth, his hair is all white. All right, this is Jesus we're talking about. This isn't, again, some like guy riding on a pony with long hair waiting for his decaf coffee, like we said, all right? He means business, don't you think? And the sword, guys, the sword, if we read about it in chapter 19, what did the sword do? It did what to all the rest of the people? It killed them. Well, why did it kill them? The sword represents divine judgment. The sword is what comes on to all of us at some point in our lives, and it can judge us. If there's any person in the face of the world, the earth, that can judge us, is Jesus, okay? And he has divine judgment, and that's what the sword represents. Man, I don't want to mess with this guy. And number 8, a face shining. Why would his face be shining? What would this simply represent? Anything? Just his glory, guys. His glory. His brilliance. You know, like John said, after he saw this, what happened? What did he do after he saw this? He fell. He fell down as though he was dead. And Jesus had to then touch him. And again, that's where I said I would have freaked out even more, especially if the guy has a sword coming out of his mouth, right? Guys, here's the thing. Worship team can come back up. Before you start playing, though, here's the thing, guys. I want to show you one more video here in a second, and this video is crazy, all right? It's cool because it represents who our God is. And during this video, once this video is done, we're going to go straight into the altar and wrap up tonight. But here's the thing. During this video, you got to think about our God, our Creator, who died on the cross for both you and me, all right? What he is like right now as he's waiting in heaven, okay? I don't know if you've ever pictured this. Again, we started off with baby Jesus, and then we talked about adult Jesus the past month. And now we're talking about what Jesus is right now. Man, he's the greatest, most ultimate fighter, warrior that you've ever imagined. What we just described, guys, is the Jesus that's going to come back, that's going to come for his people that believe in him, take him up to heaven, and then come back 7 years later, and anybody that's left, he's going to lay the smack down, all right? He's going to throw the devil, he's going to throw the Antichrist in the fiery lake, and then he's going to kill everybody else that was on the devil's army, on their side. You need to know who you're serving. That's what it comes down to. You need to know who you're serving. You need to know who you're praying to sometimes. You need to know when you're up here who you're worshiping to. Because I'm telling you right now, if you have this picture in your mind when you're worshiping, sometimes it makes it a lot easier than picturing a little baby in a manger or someone that's defeated in the moment on the cross who died for our sins. Like, we are worshiping the most glorious, the most amazing, the most powerful thing that's ever come to us, to this earth. Superhero, all right? I want you to watch this video, and I'm going to come back up. I want to wrap things up tonight.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king. Amen.
Do you know him? Do you really know him? Because tonight, honestly, was about picturing him in a new light. So this is how we're going to end tonight, because it's important. It's important to do this. I just want everyone's head bowed for a second, because I want us to picture something here again tonight. Everyone's eyes closed and their heads bowed tonight. Right now, if you haven't up until this point, I want you to picture this Jesus that we are talking about. Right now, picture the gold sash. Picture the white long hair. Picture the blazing eyes. The feet that were blazing as well. Picture the sword coming out of his mouth. Can you picture it? This is the baby Jesus we talked about in week one. This is the adult Jesus we talked about last week. This is the Jesus that died on the cross for our sins. This is the one that's going to return one day for his believers. Do you know him? Because I'm telling you tonight, if you don't know him, or if you haven't been, if your perspective about Jesus, if you haven't been picturing him in the way that you should, I encourage you to picture him this way tonight. Again, your head's down, your eyes closed. Guys, tonight it's simple. We're closing up, but I can't close up tonight without giving the invitation tonight. The first invitation being, if you don't know Jesus tonight, and I don't want to leave until I ask this question. If you don't know Jesus tonight, if you've never known him as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never asked him into your life to take the sins away and so you can live for him, and if you want to accept Jesus into your life tonight for the first time, again, every eyes closed, every head bowed, if you want to accept Jesus into your life for the first time tonight, on a count of three, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise it high if you want to accept Jesus for the first time in your life tonight. If you want to know this Jesus. Put your hands down. Now here's a second. Here's the second thing, and we're going to close in prayer and worship here. Guys, if you want to commit, if you need to recommit, or if you just want to commit in general to picturing Jesus in a new way for the rest of your life, in the count of three, again, as just a proclamation, as a statement of you wanting to move forward in your relationship with God, after I say three, I want you to come up here. And simply, when you're coming up here, all you're saying is, I want to picture Jesus in this way from here on out. Why? Because I want to know how powerful he is. I want to continue to grow in him. I want to picture him in a new way when I'm worshiping him. When I'm reading the Bible, I want him to reveal himself to me in such a powerful way that it just doesn't change my life, but he allows me to help me change the people in my life as well. To know the God and Jesus you serve, guys, is so important. So on the count of three, if you want to continue on with that, if you want to continue to picture Jesus in a new way, in a powerful way, in the best way possible, I want you to come up here. One, two, three. You can move now if that's you, if that's what you want to do tonight. And all we're going to do, I'm just going to say a prayer, guys. I'm just going to say a prayer. And like I always encourage you, just take 2 minutes. They're going to sing. I know it's already 8:19, and if you have to go, you can. But we're just going to go into this worship song again. And I encourage you to take 2 minutes to go after them. Close your eyes, guys. I encourage you to close your eyes. If anything, you don't have to raise your hands, whatever. Just close your eyes and picture this Jesus that we talked about tonight as you worship him. God, I thank you for tonight, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you've revealed yourself to us in a new way, God. And I pray tonight as these students, as we close out, as we go into the Christmas season, and it might be different because we're thinking about you as a baby, Lord Jesus. I pray that these students go into this Christmas season and they picture you on all levels. God, that they know when they step into this place, God, when they open up their Bibles, when they're praying, God, for their friends or for their family or for themselves, God, that when they picture you, God, they picture you in a way that they know you are the most high priest, the most powerful thing that's ever been created. And that's who we're serving. That's who loves us. That's who died on the cross for us. That's the one that took away every single sin of this earth and this world, God. I pray that these students can picture that tonight and they keep that picture in their head as they go on and they serve you for the rest of their lives, Lord Jesus. God, be with us now, God, as we go after you and worship in your name. Jesus, we just come to you, God, as we close out the night, Lord. We come to you, Lord, with our hearts open, Lord Jesus, and our arms extended, Lord God. And how we picture you, Lord Jesus, tonight is something that we realize is so important. God, our perspective on life in general is so important, God, and what we think about people or how we see famous people or different people in our lives, Lord, we realize that can control who we become. God, that can control what we do. God, so we recognize as we picture you tonight, it's so important because, God, how we picture you, I believe, is how we're going to worship you. God, how we picture you is how we're going to serve you. How we picture you is how we're going to read about you and how we're going to pray about you, God. And ultimately, God, how we picture you is how we're going to follow you. If we're going to listen to you or not when you speak to us. God, so we go from tonight, Lord Jesus, into the holiday seasons, Lord. And God, I just pray, God, you allow us to continually to picture you in the appropriate way, Lord. As the high priest, as the king reigning in all the heavens, looking down upon us, waiting, Lord Jesus, for the day when you return for us, God. And when you open up a can on the rest of the devil and the whole nations, Lord Jesus, saving us from our sins, Lord God. God, I just pray that you'll be with these students tonight, Lord. That you will bless them, Lord God, and you allow them not to forget tonight, Lord. And as they do go forward in their relationships with you, no matter where they're at in their relationship with you, that doesn't matter, God, but that when they go forward, God, they picture you in a new light. And I truly believe, Lord, through that, if they do picture in you in a new light, that will only bring them to the next level that they need to go. Lord, so I just thank you for them. Protect them over these next couple weeks. As we don't come together, as we're not going to be coming together, Lord Jesus, protect them, keep them safe, let them have a refreshing holiday season, Lord Jesus, and allow them to really take time over break, Lord. Remind them to spend time with you and to grow. It's a break from school and other things, God, but show them that this is an opportunity to step back and spend more time with you and learn more about you. So, God, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for what you've taught all of us tonight. Go with us in a powerful and a mighty way, Lord Jesus. We just thank you in your name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you guys for sticking around, being patient. You're free to go. Remember New Year's Eve Bash on the 30th. Please come out to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bring your friends, all that good stuff. We'll see you guys in January.